There's nothing like my American Express Platinum Card. I love that I can earn hotel credits when I travel. I can also earn resi credits. So you know I'm hitting the restaurants everyone's talking about. Plus, with the digital entertainment credit, I'm even more excited to catch my favorite shows. All in all, I can access over $3,500 in annual value with benefits and eligible purchases across travel, entertainment, and more. Learn more at americanexpress.com/explore-platinum. Enrollment requirements, monthly and other limits and terms apply.
Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Marcela Sanchez. Congress is gearing up for votes on war powers after strikes on Iran.
The U.S. Congress is about to launch a war powers debate over President Donald Trump's authority to bomb Iran under largely unusual circumstances. The country is essentially already at war. The House and the Senate have prepared war powers resolutions for votes this week. The moment is a defining one for Congress, which alone has the authority under the Constitution to declare war. Unlike debates over the run-up to the Iraq War in 2003, the joint U.S.-Israel military attack on Iran is well underway. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
President Trump says Iran's counteroffensive has killed some U.S. troops. At the time the president delivered a social video message in Florida yesterday, three American service members had been killed.
Sadly, there will likely be more. Before it ends, that's the way it is.
And there will be payback.
America will avenge their deaths and deliver the most punishing blow to the terrorists who have waged war against basically, civilization.
In a six-minute statement, the president did not elaborate. He has not answered questions in public since the war began early Saturday, but in one of a series of brief interviews with news outlets, he told The Atlantic yesterday he's open to talking with Iran's new leadership. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
AP correspondent Hayat Panjwani reports on the aftermath of an Iranian strike on Israel.
Israel's rescue services said that at least nine people were killed and more were wounded in a strike that hit a synagogue in the central town of Beit Shemesh. Scenes of heavy damage were visible, and scattered debris marked the site that was hit by an Iranian missile. At a funeral for the people killed, Yusuf Katz, the son of Oren Katz, who was killed in the strike, says, "My father, a dear man, yesterday you left us, and we didn't even have time to say goodbye. You're a special person. You always cared for everyone." Several other locations had been hit by Iranian missiles as well, including Jerusalem. I'm Hayat Panjwani.
Meanwhile, newly appointed Iranian cleric Alireza Arafi says a new supreme leader will be quickly appointed. The 88-seat assembly of experts will choose a successor to Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, who was killed in a major attack by Israel and the U.S. over the weekend. No clear successor has been named.
Iranian President Masoud Pezeshkian said in a pre-recorded message aired on state TV that a new leadership council has begun its work following the killing of Ayatollah Ali Khamenei and other senior leaders in U.S. and Israeli airstrikes. And Iran is vowing revenge for Khamenei's killing, with its parliamentary speaker Mohammad Bagheer Ghalibaf saying in a televised address Sunday that President Donald Trump and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu have crossed our red line and must pay the price. Meanwhile, the U.S. military says three service members have been killed and five others seriously wounded since the operations began. I'm Donna Water.
Traffic through the Strait of Hormuz has dropped. Ship tracking platform marinetraffic.com says transit through the choke point has fallen by approximately 70% since Saturday.
Iran has expanded its attacks to regional oil infrastructure. Saudi Arabia's Ras Tanura oil refinery was attacked as world markets are already rattled by the fighting and oil prices have soared. Online videos from the site appear to show thick black smoke rising after the attack. Ras Jaunara, which is near the city of Dammam in eastern Saudi Arabia, is one of the world's largest oil refineries with a capacity of over 500,000 barrels of crude oil a day. Earlier in the day, debris fell on Kuwait's Ahmadi oil refinery, injuring two workers after drones were shot down. Already, Iran has been threatening ships in the Strait of Hormuz, the narrow mouth of the Persian Gulf through which a fifth of all oil traded passes. Several ships there have been attacked as well. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
This is AP News.
It's tax time, y'all. If you want to file free, this next one's for you.
Now taxes is so free.
Love that jam. Up next, commercials.
Intuit TurboTax Free Edition. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, student loan interest, and Schedule 1A.
AP correspondent Jennifer King reports on the passing of legendary recording artist Neil Sedaka at the age of 86.
Neil Sedaka sold millions of records. The Brooklyn-born son of a Jewish taxi driver went to Juilliard and was recognized early on for his musical talents.
I started in the Brill Building here in New York, and we were taught to write hooks. Catchy songs, memorable songs.
He teamed up with lyricist and high school classmate Howard Greenfield for hits that embodied an era of 50s and 60s teen innocence, like Calendar Girl and Happy Birthday, Sweet 16. He had another string of hits in the 70s, including Laughter in the Rain. He was covered by many artists, including The Captain and Tennille. Their version of Love Will Keep Us Together was a 1975 number one smash. He kept writing and performing into his 80s. In a statement, his family writes they are devastated by the sudden passing of a true rock and roll legend and an incredible human being.
I'm Marcela Sanchez, AP News.
At least three U.S. service members killed and others injured, according to U.S. officials. President Trump with a fresh warning to Iran as they retaliate for the killing of their supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei. Trump writing on social media, "They better not. We will hit them with a force that has never been seen before." But Iran striking Israel with deadly force and bombing several other Mideast countries, Israel striking back. Meanwhile, Iran's new potential leadership suggesting it's open for talks with the U.S. That's according to a senior White House official speaking on condition of anonymity, saying Trump is also eventually willing to talk. But for now, the military operation continues unabated. A person familiar with that operation says the CIA tracked top Iranian officials for months and shared intelligence with Israel. And the timing of the deadly strike Saturday that took out top leadership was partly because of that information. The attack on Iran by the U.S. and Israel that took out the country's supreme leader shut down airspace in the Mideast, stranding hundreds of thousands of travelers, including Americans, Christy Elmer and her husband, who got stuck in Dubai.
You hear a lot of explosions at times. There's hundreds of them. And so when we hear them, we sort of just don't stay near the windows.
They're from New Hampshire. The one and only hotel where she's staying has set up a contingency plan in case things get really bad.
It's unsettling. We're not used to hearing bombs, right, or missiles.
The Fairmont Hotel right near them took a retaliatory hit by Iran, as did several other Gulf states and Mideast countries, which shut down airports and airspace. Travelers trying to get home to the region are also stranded abroad. Meanwhile, Elmer says she's on standby for whenever airspace reopens. Explosions rocking Iran's capital Sunday, with Israel saying it would carry out nonstop strikes against its leaders and military. Meanwhile, Iran firing deadly missiles at Israel and Gulf Arab states in retaliation for the killing of its supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, as well as what it says are more than 200 casualties in the surprise U.S.-Israeli attack Saturday. President Trump warning Iran Sunday not to escalate attacks, writing online, "America will strike back with a force that has never been seen before." On Saturday, he laid out his case for Operation Epic Fury.
Our objective is to defend the American people by eliminating imminent threats from the Iranian regime.
Officials say the operation could last days, the president acknowledging there may be American casualties. A U.S. base in Bahrain was already hit, and there's a tightening of security in the U.S. European leaders held emergency meetings Saturday, moving to protect citizens in the Middle East. Britain, France, Germany, and others urging the U.S. and Iran to restart talks while condemning Iranian attacks in the region. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer.
It is vital that we prevent further escalation and return to a diplomatic process. We want to see peace and security.
Iran launching retaliatory strikes on Israel. Starmer says they can end this now.
They should refrain from further strikes, give up their weapons programs, and cease the appalling violence and repression against the Iranian people.
Canada and Australia were more open in their support for the U.S.-Israeli strikes on Iran, while Russia and China responded with criticism. Britain, France, and Germany calling for a resumption of U.S.-Iran negotiations and condemning Iranian attacks on countries in the region. They did not comment on Saturday's U.S. and Israeli attacks on Iran. Leaders weighing their opposition to Iran's nuclear program against fears that unilateral action breaks international law. Germany said it was only told of the strikes on Saturday morning. Britain says it wants no wider regional war and it backs negotiations. EU diplomat Kaya Kallas called the situation perilous. Russia, Pakistan, Malaysia condemned them and urged restraint. I'm Julie Walker.
Authorities say at least 9 people were killed and dozens wounded in clashes with police Sunday after hundreds of protesters tried to storm the U.S. consulate in Karachi, Pakistan. The violence came after the United States and Israel attacked Iran, killing Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. There have been ongoing protests at the U.S. consulates general in Karachi and Lahore, and calls for other protests at the U.S. embassy in Islamabad and the consulate general in Peshawar. U.S.-Israeli airstrikes on Iran are disrupting flights across the Middle East and beyond. Israel, the United Arab Emirates, and Qatar have closed their airspace. Airspace in southern Syria is also closed. Planes that were headed to cities such as Tel Aviv and Dubai early Saturday were either diverted or returned to where they took off. That includes flights that took off from the U.S. Dubai's airport operator says flights have been halted indefinitely at Dubai International Airport, the world's busiest airport for international flights. Many airlines also have canceled flights to Lebanon. I'm Donna Warder.
President Trump is urging Iranians to take advantage of the U.S. and Israeli strikes in a video message.
Now is the time to seize control of your destiny.
The president says once the military operation is over,
take over your government. It will be yours to take.
Calling it probably their only chance for generations to rise up against the Islamic leadership that's ruled Iran since 1979.
This is the moment for action. Do not let it pass.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Iran and Iranian-backed militias have fired missiles at Israel and Arab states, apparently hitting the U.S. embassy compound in Kuwait, while Israel and the U.S. pound targets in Iran. In Iran, the Red Crescent Society says the U.S.-Israeli airstrikes have killed over 550 people so far in the Islamic Republic, and more than 130 cities across the country have come under attack. 11 people have been killed in Israel, according to authorities there. Meanwhile, Kuwait's defense ministry says several American warplanes have crashed in the country, and the U.S. embassy compound was also hit. The Lebanese militant group Hezbollah has claimed strikes on Israel, which fired back, killing officials say over 30. Qatar Energy says it will stop its production of liquefied natural gas as the Mideast war rages on, taking one of the world's top suppliers off the market. The state-owned firm blames the war for the decision and has not offered a timeline for restoring production. Oil prices already have risen over the war. Meanwhile, Saudi Arabia's Ras Tanura oil refinery came under a drone attack on Monday, with defences downing the incoming aircraft, a military spokesman told the state-run Saudi press agency. Pakistani authorities deployed troops and imposed a three-day curfew before dawn on Monday in the northern cities of Gilgit and Skardu after several people died and dozens were injured in violent protests following the killing of Iran's supreme leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei in US-Israeli strikes. Meanwhile, thousands of mourners gathered for funeral prayers in Pakistan's port city of Karachi following deadly clashes with police. A Gilgit-Baltistan government spokesman says the situation is under control, but the curfew would remain in place until Wednesday. Meanwhile, the US Embassy and its consulates in Karachi and Lahore cancelled visa appointments and American citizen services after demonstrators tried to storm the Karachi building. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Surveillance video of a nearly blind refugee from Myanmar who spoke little English being dropped off at a Buffalo donut shop by Border Patrol agents 5 nights before he was found dead shows him pacing by a locked door and walking through an empty parking lot. The video obtained by the Investigative Post shows Nurul Amin Shah Alam stepping gingerly in his county-issued orange jail booties and pulling up his hood against the cold. It was recorded on February 19th, the day the 56-year-old was released from the county jail, where he had been held for a year. Buffalo Mayor Sean Ryan has said the restaurant was closed at that time. U.S. Customs and Border Protection said this week that agents chose a warm, safe location for the drop-off. I'm Julie Walker.
Renee Good's family is remembering her love and her laughter. Good's mom says she loves sparkles and laughter, any excuse for a celebration, and she loved pretty much everyone she met.
She had this way of making you feel special and loved that I didn't even understand that until we lost her.
Good was shot and killed by an immigration agent in Minneapolis. Donna Ganger told the AP it's going to be hard in the future.
It's going to be a kind of a constant pain.
Tim Ganger described his daughter as
relationship building, slow to anger, quick to love, quick to care. And that's the essence of who she was.
He hopes Renee Good's death will help people stop, take a breath, listen, and care for each other.
Otherwise, it seems the senselessness of this is overwhelming.
I'm Ed Donahue.
30 additional people are being charged over the January 18th anti-ICE protest at a St. Paul, Minnesota church that led to the arrests of Don Lemon, Georgia Fort, and local activists. U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi announced that most of the protesters were already in custody. 39 people now face charges of conspiracy against religious freedom and interfering with the right of religious freedom. A lawyer for City's church praised the Justice Department for charging more people, saying the First Amendment does not give anyone license to storm a church and intimidate families. Protesters focused on the church after learning a pastor there is also an immigration enforcement official. I'm Jennifer King.
The Pentagon will forbid members of the military from attending Columbia, Yale, Brown, and other universities starting next school year amid a campaign to cut ties with institutions that Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth called factories of anti-American resentment. Hegseth announced the policy in a video posted to social media Friday, 3 weeks after he said the military was cutting ties with Harvard University. Without citing evidence, Hegseth said the universities have been breeding grounds of toxic indoctrination that undermine military values. Hegseth said the ban applies to Columbia, Brown, Yale, MIT, and many others. I'm Julie Walker.
President Trump tells reporters the U.S. is talking with Cuba, but offered few details.
The Cuban government is talking with us, and they're in a big deal of trouble, as you know. They have no money. They have no anything right now.
Amid a U.S.-imposed fuel embargo, the president suggested that Cuba is facing economic collapse.
And maybe we'll have a friendly takeover of Cuba.
Cuba's Deputy Foreign Minister Carlos Fernandez de Castro confirms the two countries are communicating. Trump's remarks came 2 days after the Cuban government reported that a Florida-registered speedboat carrying 10 armed Cubans from the U.S. opened fire on soldiers off the coast. In Big Pine Key, Coast Guard investigators were seen visiting the address where the boat was kept. A U.S. official said the owner of the 24-foot 1981 Proline alleges the boat was stolen. I'm Jennifer King.
Police in New York State investigating how a nearly blind refugee from Myanmar who spoke little English died after U.S. Border Patrol dropped him off At night, outside a Tim Hortons coffee shop in Buffalo, Nurulamin Shah Alam was detained February 19th and let go the same day after authorities determined he was not eligible for deportation. He was found dead on the street 5 days later after family reported him missing, the medical examiner calling the death health-related. Buffalo Mayor Sean Ryan accusing border agents of dereliction of duty, saying he wasn't even given shoes, instead released in the cold wearing the orange jail booties. Federal officials say agents left him at a warm, safe location. Actor Shia LaBeouf, who was arrested and charged with battery after police say he punched several people outside a New Orleans bar February 17th, was arrested again Saturday and charged with an additional count of simple battery, according to court records. Video of the incident outside Royal Street Inn and R Bar, where LaBeouf is accused of repeatedly using homophobic slurs while hitting multiple people during Mardi Gras, shows the actor shirtless, shoving someone to the ground and hitting another in the face. On Thursday, a New Orleans judge ordered him back to drug and alcohol rehab. At that hearing, LaBeouf's lawyer said being drunk on Mardi Gras is not a crime. I'm Julie Walker.
Three people were killed, including the suspected gunman, and 14 others were wounded when Austin Police Chief Lisa Davis says a man opened fire on patrons at a popular bar in the city. She says the man in an SUV drove near Buford's backyard beer garden early Sunday.
At one point, he put his flashers on, rolled down his window, and began using a pistol, shooting out of his car windows, striking patrons of the bar that were on the patio and that were in front of the bar.
Audio courtesy of KVUE. Police say the gunman got out of his car with a rifle and began shooting at people who passed by. Police then confronted the man and shot and killed him. The FBI says there were indicators on the suspect and in his SUV that the shooting may have been tied to terrorism. I'm Donna Water.
I'm Seth Soutell, and this is the AP Markets Report. Stocks closed lower on Wall Street as investors kept punishing companies that they think could become losers in the AI revolution. The S&P 500 fell 0.4% Friday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 521 points. That's about 1.1%. The Nasdaq Composite fell 0.9%. Block, the parent company of the Square and Cash apps, said it's cutting nearly half its workforce because it figures AI tools can replace them. Worries about competition from AI helped push software companies lower. Salesforce dropped more than 2%. Netflix jumped almost 14% after abandoning its bid for Warner Brothers Discovery. That leaves the way open for Paramount Skydance to buy the company. Paramount soared more than 20%. Seth Soutell in New York.
AP Sports, I'm Gethin Coolball. Tyler Reddick became the first driver in NASCAR Cup Series history to win the first three races of the season with a victory at the Circuit of Americas for Michael Jordan-owned 2311 Racing.
That's pretty crazy. Just trying to soak it all in, honestly.
NBA, the Knicks snapped the Spurs' 11-game winning streak, 114-89. College basketball, women's number one UConn capped a perfect 31-0 regular season with an 85-49 win over St. John's. USC says second-leading scorer Chad Baker-Mazzara is no longer part of its men's hoops program while providing no explanation. In golf, Nico Echevarria won the Cognizant Classic after a final round 66 and a meltdown by Shane Lowry at PGA National. And NHL, the Los Angeles Kings fired coach Jim Hiller after losing five of their past six games. The president of Iran's Soccer Federation says he does not know if the national team can play World Cup matches in the United States following the surprise U.S. and Israeli bombardment of his country. Mehdi Taj tells sports portal Varzesh 3, quote, "What is certain is that after this attack, we cannot be expected to look forward to the World Cup with hope." Taj was speaking as Iran traded strikes with Israel as part of a widening war. Iran is scheduled to play World Cup games in Inglewood, California and Seattle. South Carolina women's basketball coach Dawn Staley said on social media that the school is working to try and help a few former players return home from Israel where they are playing professionally. The trio of former Gamecocks, Tiffany Mitchell, Destiny Littleton, and Makia Herbert-Harrigan, are among about a half dozen former WNBA players who are playing basketball in Israel, which along with the United States launched an attack on Iran on Saturday. Staley wrote that they are working on a plan plan to get them home. Colorado quarterback Dominic Ponder has died in a single car crash. He was 23. The Colorado State Patrol says Ponder was driving a 2023 Tesla when he lost control on a curve and hit a guardrail. The car struck an electrical line pole and rolled down an embankment. Ponder was pronounced dead at the scene in Boulder County. The Colorado State Patrol says a preliminary investigation, quote, shows that speed is suspected as a factor, end quote. Colorado coach Deion Sanders says Ponder was one of his favorites and was loved and respected. I'm Geffen Coolbaugh.
A funeral prayer in Pakistan for a man killed in border clashes with Afghanistan. Pakistan's military struck military installations deep inside Afghanistan overnight, and it claims it's killed more than 330 Afghan forces since fighting erupted Thursday. Afghanistan disputes that figure. Pakistan says it's targeting the outlawed Pakistan Taliban, or TTP. A villager along the border says, "The situation is very bad. Our appeal to both countries is to cease fire, as there are no benefits of war." I'm Donna Warder.
On this week's AP Religion Roundup, hundreds of corrections for Texas's Bible curriculum, and hundreds of thousands line up to see the bones of St. Francis. A Bible-infused curriculum that Texas approved for public schools in 2024 will undergo corrections to fix hundreds of errors. The errors were caught by teachers and education officials after the material was introduced into classrooms. The updates range from correcting factual mistakes to replacing hundreds of images due to licensing or copyright issues. While the curriculum is optional for schools, districts receive additional funding if they adopt it. A spokesman for the Texas Education Agency told the Associated Press that about 1,900 changes were made. More than 300 school districts and charter schools indicated that they would use the curriculum. That number represents about a quarter of Texas's districts and charters. Hundreds of thousands are descending on the Italian town of Assisi to see the bones of a 13th century saint, straining the city's ability to accommodate them all. AP correspondent Nicole Winfield explains.
The bones of St. Francis of Assisi are going on public display for the first time. The Franciscan friars who operate the basilica and the convent here in Assisi are doing this to commemorate the 800th anniversary of the saint's death this year. This one-month public display is designed to invite the faithful to come to Assisi and pray before his bones and to keep his memory alive. St. Francis is known for his message of peace, his love of poor people, and his care for the environment. These were all points that inspired Pope Francis to name himself after this 13th century saint. An estimated 400,000 people have already signed up to come to Assisi and pray before these relics just in this one-month period. That's going to put a big strain on the city, but City Hall has created new parking spaces and a shuttle service to try to accommodate the pilgrims.
I'm Walter Ratliff.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.